Mother's Day weekend, New Life. We are so looking forward to celebrating all the amazing women in our lives this weekend. And why don't you let us know that you're here by tagging an influential woman that has been in your life and letting them know how much you appreciate them. And we are so glad that you've chosen to join us online this weekend. If this is your first time here or you've never really connected with New Life, we would love to get to know you. If you're on our website, you can click the I'm New button. And if you're on Facebook or YouTube, you can just leave a comment and we'll get in touch with you. We have a gift that we'd like to give you and just help you connect to the life of the church. So why don't we jump back into worship together?
Hey, New Life. I just want to take a moment before we begin worship just to wish all the moms out there a very special Happy Mother's Day. I know it doesn't quite look like what you were hoping, but I pray you know how much we love you and how much you have impacted our lives. And so as we begin to prepare our hearts for worship, let's just enter into a time of prayer and thankfulness for moms and in listening to what God has in store for us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our moms out there. God, we know this wasn't quite what they thought this Mother's Day would look like, but God, I pray that you would make it extra special for them. God, I pray that you prepare our hearts right now to enter into worship and to hear your word. And we ask all these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Time where everything is fighting for our mental and our emotional allegiance. I think it's so important that we agree together that this journey is about the lordship of Christ in our lives and magnifying him. Philippians 2:9 says that God exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name. So let's reorient our hearts and minds around Christ as we sing together.
We're creation, suddenly articulate, with a thousand tongues to lift one cry. From north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Where the whole earth echoing his eminence, his name would burst from sea and sky. From rivers to the mountain tops, we'd hear Christ be magnified.
Sing, O Christ, be magnified.
Singing, oh, Christ be magnified, just let his praise arise, Christ be magnified in me. Singing, oh, Christ be magnified, the altar of my life, Christ be magnified in me. Every creature finds its inmost melody, and every human heart's native cry. Then in warning laughter, hymn of praise, we'll sing Christ be magnified.
Be magnified.
We'll sing it. Christ be magnified. me through the fire. I'll rejoice cause you're there too. And I won't be for my feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. Cause if the cross brings transformation, you can hang me there with you. Cause death is just a doorway to resurrection life. If I join you in your suffering, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory, for the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing, my song will be the same. And oh, Christ be magnified, just let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Sing it, oh, Christ be magnified, the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Sing it, oh, Christ be magnified, just let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Sing it, oh, Christ be magnified, the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me.
In the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, the people of God have totally gone off the rails. They've forsaken their first love, and they have turned to everything around them to bring them fulfillment. And the prophet Ezekiel lays into the people of God, but he also reminds them that God hasn't forgotten about them, that he is going to stay true to his covenant, and that he has promised to give them a new heart and a new spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10, it says this: "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'O sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." I think sometimes in our lives, things need to die in order for God to breathe new life into them. And I wonder what it is in our lives today, stuff that's been buried or just laid dormant in our own hearts and minds, that God wants to resurrect by his Spirit. So just allow, as we sing, for God to just breathe new life into you. And let's just respond to that new life by pouring out our praise to him.
Father in heaven, you know my longing, you hear my every thought and prayer. I bring you my heart and all my affection. I long to love you, to love you with all that I have, to give to you. Oh, how I love you. I worship before you, lay my life down, and oh how I love you. I bow down before you now, and God, I adore you. I worship before you, lay my life down. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living hope. Your presence, Lord, I've tasted and seen. Sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, let's sing Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Speak.
What a great time of worship, lifting up the name of Jesus together. And we are so excited to celebrate Mother's Day this weekend. We have a drive-through celebration planned for Mother's Day. And we're going to be here in the church parking lot from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And we would love all women, whether you're a mother or not, to come and drive through any time in between there. You're going to enter in through the post office side, drive through our party. There's going to be a gift for you. There's going to be music. And we're just going to have a blast. And we're going to get to see each other face-to-face, which is the best part of all. And so we can't wait to see you. And we also have some amazing groups and classes that have been starting up during this season. One that I'd really like to tell you about is our Women's Summer Book Club. We're going to be reading through Beth Moore's new book together, and we're going to be connecting on Facebook or email and kind of discussing the things that God has been stirring up through that book. And we really hope that you'll join us. You can sign up for that online. And we'd also would love for you to join the Women's Facebook group, as well as a chance just to connect with other New Life women. And all of these things are possible because of the generosity of this church. It has been so great to see all of the ways that you guys have been giving, whether it's mailing a check, dropping it off, or connecting with us, texting. You can even text the word give to our number, and you can give that way through our app. There are so many ways, and it's been so encouraging to see people giving through all of those different avenues. So thank you so much. And we are jumping into a brand new series today called The Power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that you will agree with me that we all need that in our lives right now. So why don't we take a minute just to prepare our hearts for what God has for us today.
Hey, New Life, so glad that you again have decided to join us for this online worship experience. And we're beginning a brand new series. And as I was processing it, I began to think, man, there are just some times where things are good, but they can be better. And just the smallest difference can just make us go, man, that was good before, but it's better this way. In fact, it was my birthday this last week, and so many people sent cards, and one of the gifts that was sent to us was Grater's Ice Cream. It's an ice cream shop back in Ohio, and in that ice cream, they have dark chocolate chunks. Now, you can have ice cream with milk chocolate chunks or all kinds of stuff in it, but for me, there is just something about the dark chocolate chunks that I just go, ice cream's good those other ways, but it is better this way. Or for Dana and I, we were friends for a long time before we started dating, and the friendship was great, and we had a lot of fun together, and we laughed. But I can tell you that when we moved from being just friends to dating, there was crossed my mind that, man, it is better this way. And when we moved from being engaged to being married, I said, you know what? It is better this way. And there was sometimes, like even within quarantine, where I begin to think, you know what? There's some lessons I've learned along the way where I go, hey, quarantine, it's been challenging. There's been all kinds of things that have been difficult. And yet there are some things I'm learning that are better this way. Like the fact that we've had more family time around the dinner table and we've been able to spend more time together. For me as a parent, and I think just the health of our family, it is better this way. We've been able to take walks. We've been able to exercise more consistently. For some of you, I've heard that your kids have moved back in, and it's been a really good thing for you to be around them once again as adult children. And you just said, you know what? I, you know, it's good for them to be out there, but right now it is just better this way that they're around. And there's some things that go the opposite way when it comes to quarantine, though. You can't wait for things to go back to the better way. For some of you, again, it's your kids have moved home and you're ready for them to go back to their apartment. And you're like, it is just better this way. And some of us have gotten into the homeschool pattern. We've had to learn how to be teachers. And you're like, you're thanking God for your child's teacher. And you're going, you know what? Homeschool was a nice experiment, but man, it is better this way when they go back to school. Takeout food. Can we just get an amen right there? Takeout food is okay, it's good, but when you're able to sit down around a table at a restaurant and the food comes hot and fresh and it doesn't get soggy in the carton or anything, it is just better this way. When we're doing this little kind of interaction thing, we're kind of elbowing each other. I'm being honest, I'm not an elbower type fan of that. I think hugs are great and high fives are great, and I can't wait till we can get back to that because it is just better this way.
way. And even in our gatherings, I know that in this season, we've got to kind of gather in our homes, and some of you are meeting house to house this weekend. And it's good to kind of, you know, sing on our own and things of that nature and worship God on our own. But can I just tell you, it is just better this way when we gather with the people of God and we hear each other sing and we encourage one another. And so when Jesus comes to this particular moment in his ministry, he begins to talk about this idea that there is just something that needs to happen that is just better this way. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to the book of John. John specifically 14, 15, and 16, we're gonna be in what is sometimes referred to as his final discourse. And in these several chapters, Jesus begins to describe a better this way scenario that is really counterintuitive to the way that most of us would think. And in John chapter 14, he pulls his disciples together and he begins to have this conversation with them. And he basically says, hey, I've gotta go. And where I am going, you cannot go with me right now. Now think about that for a moment. Jesus saying, I gotta go, and I know I've been with you for a while, but where I am going, you cannot go. Immediately, if the disciples are anything like me, they're gonna say, why can't we go? Jesus, we've been with you the entire time. We've been following you. Jesus, don't you remember? We gave up our livelihoods to follow you. We've had persecution in order to follow you. We've been with you the entire time. Why can't we go where you are going? And when Jesus said this, a sense of just insecurity and questions begin to develop. And in these chapters, you sense the feelings of the disciples. And many of them are the same feelings that we would have. In fact, some of the language says that their hearts were troubled, that they were filled with anxiety, filled with uncertainty, filled with grief. Thomas articulated it this way, how will we know the way? Jesus, you say you're going, you say you're gonna leave us, but how are we gonna know the way? Who's gonna guide us? What's this new season, this new chapter going to look like for us? And this fear and the anxiety, and the frustration came because they didn't know the future. They didn't know the rest of the story. All they knew is what they had experienced up to that point. And Jesus was next to them. And Jesus was with them. And they were following him. And it was good. But in John chapter 16, if you want to take a moment just to flip specifically to John chapter 16, verse 7. And Jesus says this. But in fact, I know it was good. I know what you've been experiencing is good, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. That name or that word advocate, you can underline it or highlight it. It is synonymously in this particular passage with the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is basically saying, you can't have it both ways. I can't be with you physically and send you this advocate. Either I stay with you or I send the advocate, but you can't have it both ways. And here's something that I think is so vital for us to understand as believers, and was so important for the disciples to grasp, is that the only thing better than Jesus sitting next to us is the Holy Spirit living in us. The only thing better than Jesus sitting right next to us physically in the flesh next to us is the Holy Spirit living in us. And this is counterintuitive. It's incredibly difficult for us to understand how to make this connection between this truth that Jesus teaches us in this passage and make it connect with our heart. Because for most of us, we're thinking, I would much rather have Jesus next to me. Like many of us have said that, like if Jesus was with me, man, I would navigate my life so much easier. If Jesus was walking right next to me, I would ask so many questions. My doubt would subside. My fears would subside. I'd be just so thankful that Jesus was next to me. In fact, it was some of the feelings I had when I went with Pastor Dave Vasquez to Israel. We went to this specific city called Magdala. And one of the interesting things about Magdala is a place where you have congruence between the archaeological digs that they have done and kind of the physical evidence that is there and the biblical narrative evidence. And so you know that that is a place where Jesus literally spent time and he walked and he talked with people. There's a synagogue in Magdala. And outside of that synagogue is this basin, this water basin. I think we might even have a picture of it that you can take a look at. And so this basin is where people would, before entering the synagogue, would have washed their hands, purified themselves before going into worship. And as we're getting this tour and kind of listening, I'm thinking to myself, man, I am walking where Jesus walked. And they begin to tell us about this basin. And I begin to go, Jesus would have literally physically washed his hands in that pot, in that basin. And so I did what any person did. I broke the rules and I dipped my hand in the water that was there. I know it wasn't the same water that Jesus would have had in there. It had been quite a while since he was there. But it still, it was just something about the connection of saying, man, I am washing my hands physically in the same thing. There was like, man, Jesus, if you were just next to me, how awesome would that be? My fears would subside. My doubts would subside. I'd know exactly what your plans and your direction for my future would be. And yet Jesus in this passage says, no, 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 I even have a better way. It is better to have the Spirit of God living in you, the presence of the Almighty God living in you, than for me to be next to you. And there's a gap for us. For many of us, we struggle with this gap between what we read in Scripture and how the Spirit of God was alive and present in people's lives, how he empowered people to do incredible things, how the Spirit of God was active and present in the church. And there's this disconnect or this gap between what we read in Scripture sometimes and what we see in our own lives, what we read in Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit that we see in Scripture and what we witness is happening in our churches. And because of this gap, we kind of long for the physical presence of Jesus rather than harnessing and embracing the better way he told us about, which is that the Spirit of God is alive in us. There are a lot of Christians, in fact, who are trying to live the Christian life on their own. They're still hoping that Jesus kind of shows up next to them rather than harnessing the Spirit and the presence of the Almighty God in them. And they use all their willpower. They use all their discipline, but they're trying to do it on their own. I was in Andrini's the other day. They opened up and I was like, man, I want to support a local business. And so I stopped by to get my cup of coffee in the morning. And as I'm standing there, I was reminded of the fear that I have right now during this season. And many of you have this same fear because just like me, you have allergies. And when you have allergies in this season and everybody's worried about COVID and people coughing and stuff, the moment you feel a tickle in your throat and you know it's allergies, but nobody else knows it's allergies, you are trying to hold in that cough. And that's exactly what happened to me at Andrean's. I'm standing in line. I've got my 6 feet of separation from the people around me. And all of a sudden, I feel the tickle. And it's happening in the back of my throat. And I'm trying to kind of slowly cough and silently cough. But man, it is coming. And I know that I am going to have to cough out loud. And I am freaking out because I know everybody's going to look at me. And I'm going to have to go, hey, no worries. It's just allergies. When you have something happening like that, though, that cough is coming whether you want it to or not. And for some of us, success in the Christian life has been about letting our sin out slowly rather than out all at once. We try to control it. We try underneath our own strength and our own power to try to control the sin and the frustration and the things that we have going on in our lives. But here's what this entire series is going to be about as we talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus, the Son of God, ascended to the heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, our Heavenly Father sent the Holy Spirit to empower us, to fill us, to live within us so that we could have power and encouragement in this world, power and encouragement over sin and brokenness in this world. There is a power that is available to you as a person who has been forgiven by Jesus and filled with his Spirit that some of us are not harnessing. There is a better power than your willpower, and it is the Holy Spirit. There is a stronger power than your strength, and it is the Holy Spirit. There is a greater power than your power. In his name, is the Holy Spirit. But to see better, to harness better, sometimes we have to get to a moment of desperation. I know I did in my own life. There was many years that I lived the Christian life and I was grateful for the forgiveness of God, but I was not walking in the power of the Spirit. In fact, I was looking at the forgiveness of God and at the same time I was thankful for his forgiveness. I was hanging on to these old habits and patterns and destructive behaviors in my life and I was still doing these things. I'm going, yeah, but I'm forgiven by God. And yet when I would do those destructive behaviors, they would wreck relationships and they would hurt me and they would hurt those around me. And so kind of like the words of Paul, I would do things that I didn't want to do and I wrestled back and forth. And I remember coming to this moment in my Christian walk and in my relationship with God. And I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't keep failing like this. I can't keep, you know, falling on my face. I can't keep wearing myself out, trying to somehow prove that I'm worthy of your forgiveness. And it's as if in that particular moment that the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, David, now we can begin. Now that you're not gonna depend on yourself and you're gonna start depending on my power, now that you're gonna stop depending on your strength and start depending on my strength, now we can begin to really walk out what it looks like to follow Jesus. And I think for some of us, you've been working hard, you've been striving, you've been disciplining yourself. And God wants to speak to you and say, hey, would you be willing to surrender your own strength in order to be able to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so let's talk about the Holy Spirit for a few moments. The Holy Spirit is one of the most misunderstood parts or people in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit isn't an it. The Holy Spirit isn't a force. The Holy Spirit is God. I think that's so important to recognize that the Holy Spirit is God. And so when you say that the Holy Spirit fills you, what you're saying is that the God of the universe is filling you with his presence and filling you with his power and filling you with his strength. God the Spirit, this is how incredible our God is. Our Heavenly Father has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And you can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit was an it or a force, you can't have a relationship with an it. I know sometimes we try. In fact, my son, and he's gonna kill me for this because my youngest son, Zave, you know, he may not appreciate this, but I'll pay him for this illustration or something to try to, you know, smooth things over. My son, Xavier, he loves soccer. He loves soccer so much that he literally almost 24 hours a day will have a soccer ball within arm's distance of him. He will dribble around the house. He will juggle around the house. He's constantly wanting to go and practice. He loves soccer so much that I have actually caught him sleeping with his soccer ball in his bed. Now, at some point, I pray my boy wakes up and realizes you can't have a relationship with an it and he meets some wonderful girl one day. But right now he is like so in tune with soccer, but the challenge is you can't have a relationship with an it. But we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the reason we know this is because God created us for that relationship, and God is a relational God. Even within the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's a relationship that happens there. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, when God is looking at creation, he says, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." And when he says to be like us, he's talking about the relational nature of humanity, that we were created for relationship with God and we were created for relationship with one another. But even in the Godhead, even in the Trinity, there is relationship that is happening. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we begin to realize that the Holy Spirit is there in the beginning in relationship with God. It says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." And so here you have this relational God in the beginning creating, and we begin to understand kind of how the Holy Spirit is operating. And so the Holy Spirit is there in the beginning interacting with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this imagery is utilized here. I want you to maybe underline it if you want to flip over to the book of Genesis chapter 1. And in verse 2, again, I want to repeat that. It says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering. Underline that word, circle that word, or you can even that whole last sentence. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Ancient rabbis, when they would read that particular phrase, they begin to articulate and provide imagery for what that kind of language looked like. One rabbi said it this way: the Spirit of God was brooding over the water like a dove brooding over her young. Another rabbi said it this way: the throne of divine glory was hovering over the waters, even as a dove hovers over her young. Now, if you're familiar with Scripture, that should intrigue you, because you're probably thinking of a story that happens in the New Testament, specifically in the book of Mark during Jesus' baptism. I want to read it for you because, again, you have the Spirit of God that is in the beginning, but now you have the Spirit of God in the New Testament at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we read these words. One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. And as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit, again, underline this portion, the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." So I want you to think about this for a moment. The Spirit of God in the imagery like a dove was there in the Old Testament in the beginning when everything began and was a part of the creation of this world. And then in the New Testament, when God said, you know what, I am going to bring about a new creation, Jesus becomes the second Adam. And unlike the first Adam, Jesus, we're going to be watching him to see what it looks like to live out our understanding of what humanity is. And when the dove descends upon Jesus, what we recognize, it's the coming of God's kingdom. It's the coming of new creation. It's the beginning of something good and great. And we won't be operating in the power of the kingdoms of this world, but we will be operating in the power of the kingdom of God now. As I said, Jesus is the new Adam of this new creation. And so the question for us becomes, how is Jesus going to operate in this new creation? How is Jesus going to operate now that he is enacting this new thing that God is doing? In the book of Luke, we're given an insight into how Jesus will operate. Jesus will be filled with the Spirit, and Jesus will be led by the Spirit. If you're wondering how Jesus is going to operate in this new kingdom, in this new creation, as he begins to recreate kind of the mess that we made, he is going to be operate and he's going to be filled with the Spirit, and he is going to be led by the Spirit. In fact, in the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 1, we begin to read about the temptation of Jesus. And it says that Jesus, after his baptism, was filled with the Spirit, and then he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. And I find that intriguing because none of us want to be led into a place where we're going to be tempted. But sometimes we have to be led into places that we wouldn't normally go for God to teach us things that we would never learn otherwise. And so Jesus is filled with the Spirit, and then he is led by the Spirit. And then what we discover throughout this temptation is he's going to operate by the Spirit. And so as we look at Jesus's life and how he lived, we begin to ask ourselves, if I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to follow in his footsteps, if I'm going to move in this direction of this new kingdom, of this new creation, then I need to be filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit. And the challenge for us is that we can't be filled with something else and be filled with the Spirit at the same time. We have to empty ourselves of the things of this world. We have to empty ourselves of pride. We have to empty ourselves of the sin. We have to surrender our lives to God in order to be filled with his Spirit. You cannot be full of the Spirit and be full of yourself at the same time. You have to empty yourself to be filled with the Spirit. I've learned over the years some breath prayers that have been helpful for me in reminding me how important it is to empty myself, surrender, and then be filled with the Spirit, because I think on a daily basis, there's moments where my my wants, my desires, the stuff that wants to kind of take over for being filled with the Spirit, wants to kind of direct my life rather than the Spirit. And so I've just discovered that there's some important ways to just kind of have these breath prayers before you enter into conversations with people, before you kind of lose your cool, before you make a decision to make sure that you have integrity and you're being led by the Spirit, you're being filled by the Spirit, and you're being led by the Spirit. And one of those simple breath prayers is simply, God, may you decrease me and may you fill me with the Spirit. And I think about it in terms of this idea of breathing. I want to exhale myself. I want to exhale the things in me that don't look like Jesus, that are not led by the Spirit, that are not filled by the Spirit. I want to exhale those things, and I want to inhale the presence of God. I want to inhale the Spirit. And again, I know that that's not physically happening at a time, but it's just an incredible way to think about it, because I think it's important to say, okay, God, what do I need to exhale? My pride. I need to exhale my wants. I need to exhale my desires. I need to exhale my agenda. And I need to inhale, God, your love and your compassion and your agenda and your movement in my life. And so I want you to do that for me for just a moment. I want you to just take a second, and I want you to think about the things that are keeping you from following closely to Jesus. And I want you to ask yourself, hey, what would it look like to exhale those things right now so that I can inhale more of the presence of God? Because when we look to Jesus, all of Jesus' ministry, everything that he did was actually not done in his own humanist strength. He was fully alive. He was fully alive. He came here to teach us how to live in the Spirit and through the Spirit and by the Spirit. And if we want to live fully alive in Jesus, if we want to experience his love and be reminded of who we are as sons and daughters of the Most High God, if we want to be shaped by Jesus, if we want to be sent into this world to go and to do the things that Jesus did, then we need to be filled by the Spirit. And we need to be led by the Spirit. One of the interesting things about the Holy Spirit, though, is that this Holy Spirit is given to us, and the Holy Spirit's purpose is to glorify Jesus. In fact, in John chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus actually says in his own words, he said, man, I'm giving the Spirit that the Spirit might glorify me. There's a theologian, Dale Bruner, who says the Holy Spirit is the shy member of the Trinity. I love that language because it reminds us that the Holy Spirit is always working behind the scenes. And the purpose or the goal of the Holy Spirit is to point people towards Jesus. And so that's one of the fascinating things about the Holy Spirit being present and alive in us, that when the Holy Spirit is taking up residency in our lives, the Holy Spirit's going to point us and have our eyes fixated on Jesus, and our ears are going to be tuned with Jesus. And we're going to be reminded of the sacrifice of Jesus and the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And everything that the Spirit does, as the Holy Spirit resides in us, is about pointing us towards Jesus. And that's how the Trinity operates. That's exactly how the Trinity operates. The Holy Spirit points towards Jesus. Jesus, as you read throughout the Gospels, is pointing people towards the Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father is sending us his Spirit as a gift to take up residency in our lives. C.S. Lewis calls it the divine dance of the Trinity. And so here's something that's incredibly fascinating to me. And I want you to lean in close, because I want you to hear this. That where our lives witness to Jesus, that's heaven on earth. When we are filled with the Spirit, when we are led by the Spirit, and our lives are bearing witness to Jesus, that is where we see heaven on earth. That's where the reality of the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, becomes a reality right before our eyes. And so when you are filled with the Spirit and you are led by the Spirit and you are pointing people towards Jesus, that happens in your marriage when you forgive one another and when you have agape, unconditional love for one another, and you serve one another. When we're gathered together and we're worshiping God and the Spirit moves us to worship him, we point people towards the sacrifice of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, and we remind people that his kingdom is coming and his will is being done. When we pray, when we serve, when we honor others, when we do these things of the kingdom of God, we point people towards Jesus, and we remind people that God's kingdom is alive and active. And so if when the Spirit is alive in us, That is a part of bringing the kingdom of God, making the kingdom of God alive and present here on earth. Then self-promotion is how we make things hell on earth. If being filled with the Spirit and pointing people towards Jesus is how we make the kingdom of God alive on earth, then self-promotion, being all about me, being about my selfish wants and desires and doing and feeling like, hey, I can do whatever I want. It's not going to hurt anybody. I'm just about me. That is how we continue to promote hell on earth. And so the Spirit is given to us, and our tendency is going to be move towards self-promotion rather than Jesus promotion. And so we're going to have to adjust to the Spirit. It's like the Holy Spirit's taking up new residency in our hearts and our lives. We've invited him to our house, and we're going to have to make some adjustments. It's like when Dana and I got married and we moved in together, we're trying to kind of adjust to one another. Like, she wanted the toilet paper kind of the wrong way, and I wanted it the right way, which means it folds over the top. She wanted maybe the dishes done this way. I wanted the dishes done that way. She did things a little bit different than I did them, and we had to adjust to one another. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit isn't going to adjust to me, and the Spirit isn't going to adjust to you. The Spirit beckons you to adjust to him, to the person of the Spirit. And so we, as we align our lives, as we allow our lives to be adjusted towards the Spirit, we begin to be led by the Spirit as we are filled by the Spirit. And so, what does Scripture say? What does Jesus specifically say that the Holy Spirit will do? Like, when we're filled by the Spirit, when we're led by the Spirit, what does Jesus say specifically that the Holy Spirit will do in our lives? John chapter 14, verse 26. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, this is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything, and I will remind you of everything I have told you. And so again, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The Holy Spirit teaches us and reminds us. He reminds us of the things that we need to know. He reminds us of the teaching of God. Remember, the Holy Spirit points us towards Jesus. He points us towards his teachings, his proclamations, his declarations. He points us towards Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And he convicts us. He convicts us by reminding us of Jesus' teaching, by reminding us that we are only fully alive when we are connected with Jesus, to remind us that apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing. So in those moments where we want to go our way, the Holy Spirit reminds us of the truth of Jesus so that we will bend our will towards the Spirit and follow the leading of the Spirit. But here's the challenge for some of us. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a teacher, as one who will remind us. But sometimes, to be quite honest, we can have a I know it all mentality. Maybe you're doing the same thing with your family. Our family is watching the docuseries, The Last Dance, that talks about Michael Jordan. And I think about that sometimes, man. If I were to have an hour talking with Michael Jordan about basketball and him teaching me some skills, I can't imagine a time or a moment where I would be like working on my skill and Jordan would be teaching me and I'd be like, hey, no, Jordan, I got this. No, Jordan, like I'm good. I've already learned this. Like, you don't need to teach me anything. I know you're the greatest ever. Yes, he is the greatest ever. I know that you're the greatest ever, but I got this. No, I would be listening to every word. I'm like, man, he knows so much more about basketball and skill and all those things. I want to allow his wisdom and knowledge to just kind of just wash over me. And yet sometimes we do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying, hey, David, I want to caution you to go that direction. Hey, David, I want to prompt you to move in this direction. And we're like, hey, Holy Spirit, I got this. You don't need to tell, I got this. The Holy Spirit is there to teach us and to remind us of who we are and who God is calling us to be, to point us in the direction of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is also, in John chapter 14, 16, an advocate. He says, and I will ask the Father, just Jesus speaking, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He won't be next to you, Jesus is saying, like I am, but he will reside in you. He will be present. And that word advocate can sometimes be translated counselor. I love that imagery of a counselor. You know, I'm so thankful for our care and counseling center and Leslie and Gina. Pastor Vince and so many who meet with people. One of the things I love about each one of those individuals, they're so even keeled. Like they're just like steady. Somebody will tell them something or we're going through something and they have wisdom and they're just so even. They're not too high, they're not too low. They're just kind of like right in the pocket. And I think about that, I'm like, that's exactly what counselors should be. I mean, could you imagine going to a counselor and you're telling them stuff and they're like, I can't believe it. You should be freaking out. No, that's not what we want. We want the person who is just steady. We want the person who is going to give us wisdom in the midst of our crisis. We're freaking out enough. We don't need them to freak out. And so when I hear that word that the Holy Spirit is our counselor, I think about the fact that we will go through storms in life and we will go through difficulties in life. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to reside in us, to be our advocate, to be our counselor, to be our comforter, to bring about peace in our life. And not just when things are difficult. You see, the Holy Spirit is a comforter, a counselor. The Holy Spirit brings about peace in our life. The Holy Spirit brings about encouragement in our life and comfort in our life. Not just when we're going through crisis, but when God calls us to go into deeper waters, when he calls us to step out in faith. And we're thinking, oh, I don't know, I can do that. And the Holy Spirit comes and begins to lead us and remind us and point us towards Jesus. And say, you're not in this alone. I am here with you. The Holy Spirit is a teacher who reminds us. He's an advocate, but he's a guide. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. And so when I think about the Holy Spirit being a guide, I think about the many times the Holy Spirit has nudged me in a particular direction, prompted me in a particular direction, encouraged me, and guided me through this world. And the reason I can trust the movement of the Spirit and this nudging and the prompting of the Spirit in my life is because I know it's the voice of the Holy Spirit, because when it's in congruence or connected, it's consistent with the Word of God. The Word of the Spirit will never be in contradiction with the word that is given us and revealed to us through the written word of God and through the person of Jesus. So anytime we're questioning and asking ourselves, okay, is this me or is this God? We can kind of see, hey, is this connected with what the written word and what is revealed in the word of God and through the person of Jesus? And I came to a moment in my life where I stopped worrying about, hey, is this me or is this God? And began to just kind of lean into the presence of the Spirit and begin checking in. And I was more active in saying this, God, wherever you lead me, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I am willing to go. Anytime you want to prompt me, God, I want to listen. Whether it's the smallest task or the biggest move or anything in between, God, I want to be prompted by you and I want to be filled with your Spirit and I want to be led by your Spirit. And to be honest, I know some of you are thinking, man, I don't know if I could pray that, because it's actually a really bold prayer to say, God, I surrender. It's the same prayer that I prayed back in college where I say, God, I can't do this anymore. I give up. I can't do this anymore. I can't operate on my own power. I need something better. I need something greater. I need something stronger. And God spoke this as clearly as he could. He said, David, we can start now that you are ready to operate in the power of my Spirit rather than your own strength. And I've attempted every single day to get up with the mentality of, God, would you fill me afresh and anew with your Spirit? And will you lead me in your Spirit? And when you prompt me, I will act. When you say, go here, I will go there. When you move my feet, I will walk with you. And just the other day, I was serving at our pantry as cars were coming through to pick up food. And I don't do this for every single car, but just this one particular gentleman pulls up and we have a moment to talk as I'm taking his information. And I just felt prompted that his Spirit was heavy and I just felt prompted to pray for him. So I asked him, I said, you know, I felt that prompting by the Holy Spirit. And I said, hey, would you mind if I prayed for you? And he said, yeah. He said, you know, my wife this morning was called in to work at the hotel and I'm scared. I'm scared for her health. I'm scared for her safety. And I'm not quite sure, you know, what to think. And I've lost my job. And so I just, by the leading of the Spirit, just took a moment to pray over this man and encourage him. And I think, man, God, if I wouldn't have had my ears tuned to you, if I would have been about just what I needed to do in that particular moment or the next task at hand, I wouldn't have heard the prompting of your spirit, and I wouldn't have had this holy divine moment that you invited me to be a part of. And so I wonder in this particular moment how many people might be being nudged by the Spirit right now, prompted by the Spirit. How many people might be saying, you know what? I've been trying to live this Christian life on my own, and I want to be filled with the Spirit. Or how many people right now might be saying, man, I don't even know where to begin. I just want to start living this Christian life at all. And I want you to know that you can do that by simply praying a really simple prayer that just simply says, Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. I surrender my life to you. I want my life to align with yours. I want to place my faith and my trust and my hopes and my dreams in you and not in myself. And so if you're someone who has never, you know, surrendered your life to Jesus, I encourage you just to pray that simple prayer. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I receive your gift of forgiveness, and I want to walk with you. But again, there might be some others that say, hey, I've prayed that prayer, but I've been trying to live this life on my own. And I want you to know today that you were never meant to live this life on your own, underneath your own strength, your own power. And so I want you to close your eyes wherever you are, and I want you just to kind of hold out your hands. I want you just to allow me to pray for you. And in your heart and mind, it's really simple just to say, God, I'm done working on my own. I am done trying to work harder in my own strength. God, I want to allow your Holy Spirit to fill me and to lead me and to strengthen me and to guide me, to be my advocate. And so in this moment, God, I surrender myself afresh and anew. And God, I ask that you fill me with your Spirit so that I might be led by your Spirit. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. New Life, thanks again for joining us for this online worship experience. As you go today, may you not operate in your own strength, in your own power, in your own wisdom, but may you be filled by the Spirit, and may you be led by the Spirit, that you might experience his strength, that you might experience his wisdom, that you might walk in his ways. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you.
Thank you.